Hello, Adam Smith here. Aye, the wealth of nations, chappy. Powdered wig, moral sentiments, the whole shebang. And no, I am not the father of capitalism. I am more like the uncle, the weird uncle, who'll show up at dinner with awkward questions and ruin the souffle. Not a pleasant sight. Anyway, first off, congratulations. You've found me. People walk past me and say, that's the guy, you know, with the invisible hand. As if I'm some Victorian stage magician sawing, oh, I don't know, deregulation in half. For the record, I used the words invisible hand twice. Once about bread and once about astronomy. And somehow it became a lifestyle brand. Would you credit it? But if I'd known, I'd have trademarked it. Imagine this, invisible hand, drum roll, please. Available now in three kinds at your local supermarket. Aye, but anyway, Edinburgh. Oh, that's pronounced Edinburgh. Do you get it? Edinburgh. Edinburgh, not Edinburgh. Well, it's always been a marketplace of ideas. Back then, ideas were our best export. Ideas and gout. You know, in my career, I lectured, I paced, I ate more oatcakes than advisable by any modern cardiologist. And across the way, my mate David Hume, Hume as in Hume, not well, he was busy blowing holes in certainty with a big teaspoon called, called reason, you know. Aye, we were an odd pair. Hume, the careful sceptic, and me, the sentimental economist. He'd say, Adam, we know nothing. And I'd say to him, yes, David, but we feel things, and those feelings shape markets. He would sigh, I would sigh. We'd both sigh together, and then our attention would be turned to the whiskey, and we knew that we knew at least that much. You know, people thought I wrote a manual for greed. I did not. I wrote a story about people, how we bump into one another, with our needs, talents, blind spots, and brilliant sparks, and somehow through the friction, we bake bread. Yes, the butcher, the brewer, the baker, they serve their own interests because they're a profitable enterprise, but that interest is braided with yours. If, for example, you went into a shop and bought shoes and wore them out in the Royal Mall here, and they fell apart because of the rain, well, the rain is a common occurrence for sure. But if they fell apart, you wouldn't return to that shop. Reputation is a market too. And laissez-faire, and say it with me, going, I can hear you. Laissez-faire. It never meant let the wolves run the sheep house. You know, I argued for institutions, courts, schools, roads, lighthouses. You want markets? Fine. But you also want rules. Like, for example, I don't know, try not to sell sawdust as flour. And, oh, I don't know, please bathe occasionally. But here's something that they will never put on a motivational poster. Markets, right? Markets are moral dramas performed daily by fallible creatures carrying shopping bags and childhood baggage. The price you see is the last scene of the play. Unseen are the rehearsals, the apprenticeships, the arguments over wages, the midnight spreadsheets, the supplier who says, oh, I don't know, sorry, the ship is stuck in a canal because Jeffrey had a sneeze. And then you, yes, you with a coffee, you walk in, scan a shelf and choose. And that choice is a vote, a signal, and something to regret if you don't realise what you're doing. Now you'll hear about my book every so often, The Wealth of Nations. It's a heavy thing. People use it as a doorstop and call it market access. But my first love was the theory of moral sentiments. That's the book where I say that we're born with sympathy, empathy, if you like, and an inner spectator who judges us. I called it the impartial spectator. A wee referee in your head with a whistle and sensible shoes. And when you haggle, cheat or give generously, that spectator takes notes. And those notes, across millions of us, become culture, trust, and the price of a pint of lager down the shops. You know what I mean? Well, anyway, let's address the invisible hand properly. Imagine a crowded kitchen. Go on, imagine it. Everyone's cooking a different dish. Chaos, right? Yet, if you set some boundaries, no knives, wash your hands, and label the nut allergy bits, people will trade ingredients, they will share pans, and a meal will emerge. Not perfect, never perfect, but better than that one chef cooking everything with a single spoon and an ego like a zeppelin saying, the hand is in emergent order, not a mystical paw guiding your Amazon basket at 3 o'clock in the morning. And yes, I believed self-interest can be good, but I also warned the moment merchants can conspire, they will. For example, if the three only candle makers in your town meet for merriment and drinks and celebration, the price of candles will rise by the morning. Think about it. Collusion is older than any app. That's why you need competition, sunlight, and people who ask rude questions. Why is this loaf suddenly 5 shillings more? Rudeness, displayed and deployed wisely, is for the public good. Take the street, for example. You'll be solicited by shops, tartan fantasies, buskers with more confidence than cords, and the odd philosopher. Your job is to choose wisely if you can, hilariously if you must. The point isn't to banish showmanships, it's to keep it honest. If a busker tells you the finale involves levitation and then merely levitates your wallet, well, you've learned something good about asymmetric information. A word on inequality, since someone always asks. If a system produces splendid growth but strands half the people on the pavement with cold hands and colder prospects, that system will eat itself. Resentment is a tax with compounding interest. A flourishing commercial society must be a school for sympathy. Prosperity without dignity is a sort of gilded indigestion. And to the purists who quote me like scripture, oh bless. But stop it. I am not a deity of deregulation. I am a man who loves sentences, long walks, and the idea that progress arrives not as a cavalry charge, but as a queue. Untidy, sometimes infuriating, and ultimately fair if the door staff do their job. Now then, practical counsel, because I try to be useful when frozen to a pedestal. First off, learn the difference between price and value. Price is the noise in a crowded room. Value is the conversation worth hearing. If you buy solely on the former, you'll end up with a wardrobe of regrets and a toaster that scorches the moral sentiments right out of your bread. Second, be loyal to good merchants. Loyalty, placed properly, lowers transaction costs, less haggling, fewer doubts, and more mutual favours. The butcher who knows your name trims more than the fat. He trims uncertainty. And thirdly, bargain with dignity. There's nothing noble about squeezing pennies from those who cannot breathe without them. If your triumph requires somebody else's humiliation, your impartial spectator will heckle you in the night. And because this is Edinburgh, let's savour the contradiction we've built on. We are both romantic and rational. We write love letters to the Highlands and footnotes to each other's footnotes. We sell postcards of mist and measure the mist in microns. The market thrives in that paradox. Imagination priced in sterling and stories wrapped in receipts. Anyway, before I release you to the mile with its, you know, bagpipes, buskers, bargains and brilliant bravura and noise, let me offer you one final provocation. The invisible hand is only as steady as the heart behind it. If you cultivate sympathy, the hand will build. If you cultivate cynicism, the hand will pickpocket. An economy is like a mirror that returns the face you make at it. If you want generosity out there, practice it in your chest, in your heart, and occasionally in your purse. So go on, reward the honest craft. Ask hard questions of the shiny pitch. Tip the performer who made you feel more alive than your phone does. buy the thing that lasts. And if you must quote me, try this line. You ready? Because here it comes. Tap this into your subconscious, your conscious, and maybe even put a note onto your phone, okay? No society can surely be flourishing and happy, of which the far greater part of the members are poor and miserable. That's not a loophole. That's the point. Anyway, right, I am due to stand still very soon and look as wise as I have done for another 100 years. So you go and make signals in the market. Go and choose with taste, pay with grace, and keep your inner log spectator impartial. If you get lost, I'll be here pretending I meant all of this to happen. Go on, bugger off. Enjoy the rest of the mile. Speak to you soon. Oh, and by the way, if you want to give me a call, you can. Just look at the bottom of your phone. Bye for now.